This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 29th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a report on so-called factory dairy farms and what neighbors think of them. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Another attempt at putting additional state funding into Chicago's public transportation systems has failed. Yesterday, the Illinois House voted down a measure that would have helped the transit agencies prevent fare increases and cutbacks in service, as Amanda Vinicky reports.
It's the second proposal the House has rejected. The first one would have raised money for the Chicago Transit Authority, Metra, and PACE by raising the sales tax in the Chicago area. Governor Rod Blagojevich vowed to veto that plan. He endorsed this latest proposal. It would divert money to the CTA from the tax drivers all over Illinois pay on gas. Earlier Wednesday, Blagojevich expressed optimism his version would pass.
You solve the CTA and the RTA crisis, and you keep your cotton-picking fingers out of their pockets.
But lawmakers voted down the plan, saying it would leave a gaping $400 million hole in the state budget. Democratic Representative Julie Hamos of Evanston says she's disappointed it failed, but she says she's heartened that debate on it seemed to bring out more support for the original sales tax proposal.
I do hope that we will have an opportunity to revisit that and that we will be able to pass that.
Transit officials say something must be done by early January, a deadline that could prove hard for lawmakers to meet. They'll try again today. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Governor Blagojevich was at a hockey game last night while state lawmakers are voting on that plan. His staff defended the governor's decision to attend the Chicago Blackhawks game when the transit plan was being rejected in Springfield. House Speaker Mike Madigan says it may have helped had the governor stayed at the State House.
Well, it certainly would have showed a little more interest in what we're doing had he been here in the Capitol building.
The governor's top aide says Blagojevich spent most of the day at the state capitol. She says he kept on top of the issue at night by phone at the game. She also says he attended the hockey game to help promote the Blackhawks and welcome the team's new president. Attorneys for a former Urbana school teacher charged with sexually molesting students will make their case today to move the trial out of Champaign County. John White's attorneys say the court wouldn't be able to find an impartial jury because of extensive pretrial publicity. White's accused of molesting nine of his second-grade students in his classroom at Thomas Paine School. He's also charged with two similar counts in McLean County, where he taught before coming to Urbana. This week, Judge Harry Clem allowed prosecutors to use testimony from the two McLean County students to be used in the Champaign County trial. The Savoy Village Board has approved an intergovernmental agreement with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. It would allow expanded bus service there while protecting most residential areas in Savoy from annexation. But as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, the agreement includes an amendment that the MTD board may not like.
Savoy trustees voted 4-2 for an agreement that would bring some apartment complexes and retail areas into the MTD now, while shielding other residential areas south of Curtis Road from forced annexation for 25 years. But a last-minute amendment to the agreement would set aside a tenth of MDD tax revenue collected in newly annexed areas to pay for road repairs along bus routes in Savoy. The proposal came from trustee Joan Dykstra.
You got unique opportunity to ask MTD to give back something that they need to give back for costs, because it's enormous cost to repair roads.
Dykstra, who voted against the final agreement, says road damage caused by MTD buses is a concern of many Savoy residents. But MTD Managing Director Bill Volk argues that buses are not a threat to good roads.
It's only when we are operating on substandard areas that really any damage would be done.
Volk says the amendment may be such an obstacle that MTD board members may not want to bring the agreement up for a vote at all. Four MTD board members were contacted last night for their reaction. Willard Broom, Vicky Ford, Ron Peters, and Yuki Llewellyn all declined to comment until they could study the amendment further. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Also last night, Savoy's Village Board voted to join a formal intervention in the Illinois American Water rate hike request before the State Commerce Commission. Savoy joins Champaign, Urbana, and Sidney in the fight against that 60% rate hike plan. A committee of about 30 people met for the first time last night to start charting a long-range plan for Champaign's public schools. The so-called Vision Committee was organized by two school board members who want them to collect information and public input into a report on future building and academic needs. Their facilitator will be a U of I assistant provost, Stig Laniskog. He says it's crucial for everyone in the district to feel they have a voice in the process, and it all starts with laying out all the pertinent facts.
If we set up good mechanisms to allow people to also see that all different types of viewpoints will be considered, I think those are the types of things that will enable people to see that we are truly going into this process with generally a clean sheet of paper and really allowing the community to really form the opinions on what's best for Unifor.
Laniskog says the end result may or may not include a call for a new referendum vote on funds for new or expanded buildings. He hopes the committee reaches a final conclusion by next summer. Public health officials in Champaign-Urbana are looking at raising the cost of filing a death certificate. Public Health Acting Administrator Julie Pride says the agency is currently charging $7. That's less than what the certificates cost in Champaign County or in neighboring communities. Pride says the cost of the paper for printing the certificates has gone up, and it seemed like the right time to look at its own fees.
I think it's kind of awkward when different units of government charge different amounts for the same service. And so we're just looking at that, and you know, I don't know the last time that the fees have been reviewed. So what we're doing is just a review of the fees, and we're going to look into that.
Death certificates are typically taken care of by funeral homes, but families can request a copy if they need one. The Champaign County Clerk's Office currently charges $12 for the certificates. The only restriction placed on those issued by the CU Public Health District is that it only has access to death records from the last 10 years. A formal proposal to raise the fee for death certificates will be on the CU Public Health District Board agenda next month. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The way milk is produced has changed. A lot of dairy farms are much bigger now and more efficient. They're often called factory farms. Mark Brush of the Environment Report tells us neighbors of those farms say they're paying a high price for the cheap dairy products on your store shelves.
More than 50 cows trudge single file into this big new building. There's a bright white tile floor and lots of light. The animals are herded into individual metal stalls. The gates close over their heads, kind of like how the bar comes over your head when you get on a roller coaster. At the other end of the cow, workers insert its udders into suction cups, and the milking starts.
They're milked three times a day, then they go back through the freestyle barn. So we are milking currently 1,000 cows.
That's Mark Vandeheining. He runs this dairy along with his family. They moved here from Belgium, and they started milking their cows last year. They just built another facility, and soon they'll have 1,500 cows. Vandeheining says back home in Belgium, they had a small dairy farm, but wanted to expand.
But in Belgium, there was a little bit, the land is expensive, and there was a quota system, so it's expensive to expand there, and there are already a lot of people, so that's why we moved over here.
It's a fairly common story. Farmers from Belgium and the Netherlands move here to build huge livestock operations, operations that would be too costly to run in Europe. Vandeheining says they produce more than 8,000 gallons of milk per day. But that's not all they produce. The cows also make more than 10,000 gallons of manure a day. And it's the manure that concerns people most living around this dairy in northwest Ohio. The manure is held in huge lagoons out back, and eventually it's spread onto nearby farm fields. It smells. On some days, the smell is intense. Some of the people who live around these fields say the new mega dairy has made life pretty unpleasant.
I just live a quarter of a mile east of them. So I get it when the wind comes from the west, and it's bad.
Regular cow manure, when they used to clean the bar, it stunk, but it was a different... This is sometimes a really vile, just...
Sometimes like bleach or medicine in it.
Yeah. It just sometimes takes your breath away. One day I tried to work in the garden, and within probably 10-15 minutes, I was so nauseated, I thought I was going to throw up.
Dub Heilman, Judy Phillips, and Jane Phillips have lived in this rural community all of their lives. None of them had experienced the sharp smells until the dairy began operating last year. With the operation expanding, Judy Phillips says she fears the problems will only get worse.
You know, is this air going to kill me? What's it going to do? I mean, we're all getting older, and, you know, we've already had health issues, and how's this going to affect us? It's scary. Sometimes it is a scary feeling that what's this going to do to us?
Exactly what the foul air does to people's health is debated. The Vandeheinings think it's much ado about nothing. But health experts are concerned about a couple of chemicals generated by the stored manure, hydrogen sulfide and ammonia. Two studies have found that people living near these mega farms report more headaches, respiratory problems, nausea, burning eyes, and depression. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulates hydrogen sulfide and requires reports for ammonia releases from industries, but not for farms. The EPA says it's looking into the farm air pollution problem with a new 2-year study. But the way the study was set up has angered a lot of people. The agency struck a deal with more than 2,000 livestock producers. These producers represent about 14,000 individual farms. All of them will get immunity from prosecution for breaking air pollution laws. Each of the producers paid a small fine, and in exchange, the EPA will study air emissions on 24 of the farms. The study just started, and it will be another 3.5 years before the EPA makes any decisions. John Scholl is with the EPA. He says right now, if neighbors have any problems, unless they can prove imminent danger, they shouldn't look to the EPA for help. They should call their state agency.
In terms of any concerns that they would want to seek redress for at this current time, EPA certainly encourages residents impacted by those operations to work with their respective state air quality agencies.
The neighbors we talked to said they've tried contacting the state agency responsible for overseeing these mega farms, but they were told there's nothing the agency could do. Jane Phillips says the EPA study is just a delay tactic.
The science is already there. There's no reason for this study. And I think, you know, no matter what the science says, somebody's going to dispute it, and there's going to have to be another study. It's just going to go on and on and on.
Farm Bureau will fight it, and they'll just keep the whole mess going, and I don't think it'll end.
The Vandeheinings dairy operation is one of the livestock farms that was granted immunity by the EPA. Mark Vandeheinings says he's doing what he can to cut down on the odors and air pollution. Instead of spraying the fields with manure, they've been injecting it into the soil. And next year, he says, they'll build a new manure treatment lagoon. But with 500 more cows scheduled to arrive at the dairy soon, his neighbors don't expect the air around their homes to improve in the coming years. And they don't hold out much hope that the government will help either. For the Environment Report, I'm Mark Brush.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Chillier weather has moved into the two-state area. For today, our meteorologist Ted Kieser calls for sunshine, breezy conditions, and highs ranging from only 33 in northeast Indiana to 47 in far southern Illinois. The high in Champaign-Urbana today, 40 degrees, with winds from the west at 12 to 24 miles during the morning and decreasing winds in the afternoon. Look for mostly cloudy skies tonight in far northern Illinois with light snow showers and flurries arriving. In far northern Indiana, increasing clouds, but elsewhere still clear to partly cloudy. Lows overnight ranging between 20 and 27. For tomorrow, clouds in far northern Illinois with a few light snow showers, then becoming mostly sunny. In far northern Indiana, a few scattered flurries, elsewhere partly to mostly sunny. Tomorrow's highs will range from 28 in northwest Illinois to around 50 in the far south. 44 are high for tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. Saturday, cloudy with a few showers from freezing rain and rain possible in the morning, and cloudy with rain showers in the afternoon with a high of only 38. Sunday, 47 with periods of rain, especially in the morning. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.